This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a special broadcast from Broad on Joy 94.9.
I'm gonna marry the night. Give up on my life. I'm a warrior queen, live passionately tonight. Not waxing my legs or shaving my pits or bleaching my lip, 'cause I don't give a
You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Broad. Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present, and future. Here we are at Broad, and gender matters, but women's bodies matter too. And we have in the studio, like to welcome a live guest, Lisa Dibb.
I am alive, yes.
You are. And quite fun times we're having today at Broad, tonight, I should say. And you're here from Slutfest.
Yes, well, Slutwalk.
Slutwalk,
Slutwalk, yes. Melbourne, that's mm-hmm. our team, and Slutfest is the event name.
Cool.
Of the event we'll be doing, yeah. Which we will talk about, I assume.
We will talk about it very soon. Also on the line, I'm very proud to say, I'm very lucky to have Sophie Hyde on the program of Here on Broad. Welcome, Sophie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's what, 8? Well, it's 8:45, is it, in Adelaide time?
Yeah, just before. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about gender matters a bit later on as well. We do have an interview with Diana Burnett here for Broad. She's got a lot of experience in production and management in films for almost 20 years, etc. So we had a chat to her earlier today as a coincidence. And, so she's looking at, I guess, some of the new news that is coming up with distribution, support and attachments for women. And for you, Sophie, you're part of the Gender Matters Task Force. Can you tell us what that means?
I mean, Gender Matters was just a program that Screen Australia came up with to respond to, you know, some recent research that confirmed that women were just not participating in film industry or not represented in film industry in any way that was acceptable, I suppose. It looked at that there hadn't been a change in the numbers of women making films, you know, since the 1970s, but the numbers were the same, and that it was, you know, so bad that I think it was 12% of feature films in Australia are directed by women, and that's all. And and the numbers aren't much better for television, you know, or for and even producers, which we all think is like this huge number of you know, women are producers, but I think it's something like 32% actually across the board. So it's not anywhere near what it should be. And I think it's a recognition from, you know, Screen Australia that industrially that's a problem, and that it's also a problem culturally to not have female voices, you know, speaking when Screen Australia is charged with, you know, maintaining an Australian voice. So they set up a new initiative to say, what are we going to do about this? And as a part of the task force, we just responded to some of the ideas that they had for that, which was essentially funding a whole lot of women and sort of kick-starting some of their work that they were doing in an attempt to just push things along a little bit, you know?
Yeah, no, it sounds like it was really necessary. You see a lot of international talk as well about representation and women getting, at the end of the day, jobs in this industry. The difference is there. Do you think there is a lot of hope for, say, compared to here in Hollywood for women?
I mean, the Hollywood that the, like, you know, I think it's 4% of the biggest, of the of most, of the Hollywood studio films are directed by women. So it's very, very low over there. Indie films are different. Look, you hope so. And at the end, like, it's not actually about jobs or numbers for me. It's really about seeing films that are driven from diverse points of view and from different points of view than what we're used to. And I think when we talk about and think about diversity, it's so difficult when you have 50% of a population, you know, half of a population, if you're looking at gender, just not being represented at all. It's like, how do we even think of it in a more broad kind of way?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And look, for you, we didn't even intro who you are. Sorry about that. But you're not fresh off the boat, so to speak. You are a director, a producer, you're a filmmaker, creative person. Of course, for our station, probably most well known as Jim's daughter, Jim Hyde's daughter. From Is Nothing Sacred, but oh no, seriously, though that is serious. He'll tell me off now. But 52 Tuesdays. Just briefly tell us how you got involved with Gender Matters and 52 Tuesdays, I guess, was a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been making films for a while. Mm. I've been Jim Hyde's daughter for longer.
He's going to love that. His ears will be burning.
You know, I made a lot. I made documentaries and short films and things like that. But my first featured drama was 52 Tuesdays, which was, you know, a story of a teenage girl and her mother who decides to transition over the course of a year from living as a woman to living as a man. And that film was, you know, is set and shot every Tuesday for a year, and then it. So it was a very tiny little film, but it sort of released and we went around the world with it, and it was surprisingly successful. and so I guess, you know, you don't think about things before doing something like that. You don't think about whether there's that many women in the industry or it's something that you might talk about. But I know going out with that film, it became a question that I was asked by every interviewer, like, you know, as about being a female filmmaker. And I started to realise just how actually important it was and that it wasn't as common as I imagined. Yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, the 16% of women that we know in Australia are directors compared to the men, 32% of producers, so there seems to be more in that area, and 23% writers. So, yeah, there's clearly an ongoing issue, which hopefully Gender Matters will be able to, do something about and create some action. And it's 58 people so far, isn't it, that have...
Yeah.
I won't it's say one, but have been recipients for support from the Screen Australia project.
That's right. Yeah, there's a whole lot of stories, brilliant stories, it was called, the initiative, and it was, you know, lots of different teams in TV, drama, feature, episodic work, and then it was Brilliant Careers, which was like a business sort of funding to support the careers of women. Yeah.
Cool. Well, look, fantastic. Thank you very much for speaking to us tonight here on Broad. Where can people go as well to find out more about you and to find out more about Gender Matters?
Well, to find out more about me, you can go to closerproductions.com.au, which is my company. Gender Matters, you can look at the Screen Australia website, but I'm going to be speaking on a panel at the Melbourne International Film Festival next Saturday at 12 at Federation Hall.
Oh, yes, yes.
CCA. And that's all about. That's got a whole lot of really amazing female directors who are all talking about this idea of women working in film.
Yeah, who else is going to be with you on that?
I believe that it is Margaret Pomerantz is hosting it. It's
that's
Gillian
cool.
Armstrong, mm-hmm. Sue Brooks, Kitty Green, and Jocelyn Morehouse.
Oh, cool. We'll put the link on Facebook too.
Cool.
That looks exciting. Yay. Well, cool. All right. You can ask Margaret Pomerantz why she doesn't like horror films.
All right. I will.
Thanks so much for speaking to us, Sophie Hyde, here on Broad. And good luck.
Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So, yeah, so if you're thinking about becoming a filmmaker, you're a woman, you identify as a woman, as a female, as such, this could be a great opportunity to head along to that Melbourne International Film Festival panel. And Sophie Hyde will be part of that. We'll put the links up on the Broad Facebook page. Coming up very shortly, we will be speaking to Lisa about, I guess, yeah, it's all connected one way or the other, how we see women, how women are depicted, and, of course, the whole concept of slut-shaming, what is that? And body positivity. We'll have an interview with Taryn Brumford and her movie's coming out next week on the 4th of August. It's called Embrace. So let's embrace tonight. Let us know what you think. Send us a message, 0427-JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. This is Broad. This is Broad on Joy 94.9. That was The Knife, a Swedish duo with The Most. They're pretty awesome, and the reason I played that, I'll explain that a bit later. But let's just say it's because of a film called Bad Girl, and that's going to be part of the Melbourne International Film Festival. We'll chat about that shortly, a review. But in the meantime, well, the good time, I should say, we have Lisa Dibb from Slutwalk here in the studio. Great, for the first time on Broad, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, thank you.
Yeah, cool. So for all those newbies out there who don't know what Slutwalk is, what does it mean? What can you tell us about it?
Well, Slutwalk is, I mean, it's a global movement basically to oppose and ultimately end victim blaming and slut shaming. The inspiration for it came several years ago in Toronto, in Canada.
Yes.
When a cop in discussion about a sexual assault case basically advised women to stop dressing like, quote, sluts if they didn't want to be assaulted.
Mm.
And a group of people took umbrage to that, as you might imagine.
As you would imagine.
And they, yeah, they formed the Slutwalk movement, which, I mean, in most cases it takes the form of an annual march. Certainly it does in our case, but it is a movement that we follow all year in terms of trying to just combat victim blaming, because it is pretty insidious when you really look for it. It's pretty hideous, and slut shaming is again one of those things that's just all over the place, and it's just meant to degrade women.
True, and yeah, so. For Melbournians, if I can get that right, how long has the Slut Walk event been going for?
I think 5 or 6 years. I've been on part of the team for the past 3 years. But yeah, it was started by a ragtag group of idealistic femmos in Melbourne, and it's been started in heaps of other places throughout the whole world. It's become this incredibly global movement. I think there's slut walks in Sydney, Adelaide, I think, as well, Perth. So it's just good to see people jumping on board. Not that it should be a difficult cause to get around.
Exactly.
But you'd be surprised what people oppose these days.
Yes, well, have you ever seen any of that vitrolic kind of?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Physically, yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, every day on the internet for one, but then sometimes on the march we do see people who either look askance at us or might yell out something, and it's like, what are you opposing here?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we've got signs that are saying that women shouldn't be blamed for their assaults, and that you know, women are people too, and stuff like this. And there are people that.
Oh, but shouldn't you be like a bit more modest in what you're doing, your dressing? Maybe you should go home early. And why don't you take a male friend with you wherever you go out at night?
Exactly, and you know, just the very idea of women marching down the street is so abhorrent to some people. I mean, why can't we just be nice and quiet about it, really? Because that didn't work for a long time. So now we're trying something different.
Exactly. And it's just growing and growing. Hence, something really important coming up this Saturday, the 30th of July, and that's the Slutfest. This is the first Slutfest.
It's the first Slutfest, but it's part of an annual tradition, I guess, where we have an annual fundraiser that goes towards raising funds for the march, and then any additional funds also go to a different charity every year.
Cool. What have you chosen this year as a charity?
Reproductive Choice Australia.
Ooh, all right. That's a good one. Why Reproductive Choice Australia? I'm just throwing all these questions at you.
Well, we just like their work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously there's no shortage of charities that need help.
Yeah, certainly.
So we really had a pick. But that is obviously incredibly important, the idea of reproductive rights for women, because that's something that does go hand in hand with victim blaming and slut shaming, is the idea of taking away women's agency over their own bodies, which happens. I mean, I personally think that it happens most strongly when it comes to whether or not you have children, how you have children, how many you have, what manner in which you have them, etc., etc.
Yes, I know what you mean. Excellent. Now, of course, what's happening at the Slutfest? What can people expect? It's a festival, so there must be some, events, panels,
audaciousness,
and music, I believe.
Yeah, it's just going to be a party. The past couple of years we've had rather not toned down, I would say, but the last couple of years our fundraisers have been like during the daytime. There's been more of an emphasis on crafts and baking and
cupcakes
and stuff. Yeah, like something chilled.
Cupcakes, yeah.
Something chilled out during the day.
Yeah.
But this time we decided to go for something a little bit more raucous. I think people still like it. So it'll be at Loop Bar, which is a great little bar in Melbourne. A lot of nice little pockets to sit and have a drink in. And there'll be music, burlesque, performances, spoken word, a choir.
Cool.
Yeah. So
it'll be
slightly more of a party atmosphere than we're used to. I'm sure we'll all be utterly exhausted from staying out that late. But it's actually not that late. The show starts at 6:30, so it's a reasonable time for people to still go home and watch, I don't know, whatever TV show people are watching now.
I think they're watching Winona Ryder, aren't they?
The Stranger Things? Yeah, Stranger Things.
I think that's what everyone's into.
I don't have time to binge TV shows.
If only we had the time, yeah. Maybe after Slutfest we can binge.
Oh, no, because like after that it's obviously getting prepared for Slutwalk, and then after Slutwalk's done it's getting prepared for the next Slutwalk. So
wow.
there's never any time.
So when is the actual Slutwalk?
That's one of the things that people who come to Slutfest will find out. We're going to be officially announcing the March date.
Cool.
I mean, it's not going to be too surprising because it'll be in September, which it normally is.
When it's a bit warmer and spring-like.
Yeah.
Usually.
That does help.
It does get people out.
So, yeah, that'll be one of the things we announce at Slutfest, which will be the March date. That's just one of many reasons to come down.
Now, how can people find out more? We've put it up on the Broad Facebook page, but any other links that you can recommend people need to book or whatever?
Yes, please pre-book just so you can save yourself a spot. Because there is always those peaks and troughs where people just all jump in at once and it's like, oh no, I thought there were tickets, and then there aren't any tickets.
So don't necessarily rock up on the day and expect there to be space.
Yeah, just pre-book and just be safe. There is a Facebook event that's just called Slutfest 2016, which is on the Slutwalk Melbourne Facebook page. Or you can also find it if you just go to slutwalkmelbourne.com.au, and there's a lot of other stuff on the website too if you want to become a bit more familiarised with what we do and the movement and how far it's come. Nice little reading matter there.
That sounds really good, really, really good. And of course the next thing I was going to ask, the choir's there, that's pretty cool. It's $10 pre-booked, $15 on the door. Can people cosplay?
Yeah, do what you want.
Come as a slut?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
slutty the better, or whatever their interpretation of slut is, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's the same rule that we have for the march, which is wear whatever you damn well please.
Exactly.
Who are we to tell you what to wear? As long as you're comfortable, because it's cold in Melbourne, so,
Hopefully it's warming a bit. But for Slutfest, yeah, maybe wrap up a bit.
Yeah, maybe bring like a pashmina or something just in case. But then, be prepared to maybe rip it off in a frenzy as you dance.
As you frolicky dance to the music.
Yeah, yeah, because we've got DJ Eaton Mess, who is amazing.
Love the name.
Yeah, and so she's going to be our DJ for the night.
Cool.
So people will almost definitely be boogieing.
Damn.
Well, I wish that wasn't the first synonym for dancing I thought of.
Scuttlebutting, maybe. I don't know.
I'm 100 years old.
cool. Look, Lisa Dibb, thank you so much for speaking to us about Slutwalk and, of course, upcoming this Saturday the 30th, Slutfest. We'll put some more things on the web page there and get this podcasted later in the week. Cross fingers. But do hang around and stay with us. And the same goes to you out there, you people. Who's into slut walking? Who's into slut fest? Let us know. 0427 Joy 949, or you can email on air. And that is onair@joy.org.au. This is Broad here on Joy.
I am Sophie Hyde, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Yes, it's Broad on Joy 94.9. We've had a good message. Very nice. Love to hear your guests' voices. Sonia, Sophie H was great just now. Go Broad. Best start to the week ever. Caff. Thank you, Caff. That's fabulous. Look, if you want to send a message of hope, a message to Broad, a slutty message, but you know what I mean. When I mean slut, I mean, hey, you know, we're all sluts together, apparently. 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au, because, of course, it's all about saying no to body shaming. And speaking of which, I have an interview with Taryn Brumfitt. Her film comes out next week, August 4. It's called Embrace, and certainly it does that. It's basically, she's a body positive activist, and there's been some interesting developments with her film being censored. That's right, here in Australia. Find out more about that classification. They've just put it up to an over 15 classification, when really girls need to see it. Girls and boys under 15 need to see this film, because it's really important. I think gets the message out there. Let's listen to that interview I had with her earlier in the week. Although it is Monday, so maybe it was the end of last week. I can't remember, but just enjoy that, and hopefully it'll help you to make a decision about just how we want to be represented and women's bodies and the power and control. Who does have the power and control over our bodies? Find out. This is Broad on Joy 94.9. This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. We have a fantastic guest talking to us tonight about something called Embrace. We're going to embrace her. Her name is Taryn Brumfitt. She's described as a positive body activist, filmmaker now, photographer, mother, and in general is getting a very important message out there in this film that's due for release very soon. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So Taryn, tell us what Embrace is.
So Embrace is a story about my body image and how I went from hating my body to learning to love my body. But beyond that, it's the stories of many women around the world, many inspiring stories of women who have overcome adversity and have something to say on the subject of body image and body shaming as well.
Now, it's been a really fascinating journey. It's been a few years since that initial decision, the before and after photograph. For those who don't know what happened there, can you briefly tell us?
Yeah, sure. So there are so many before and after photographs we see across social media in particular, and often it's a woman before and she's overweight and she's very sad, and then she loses weight and miraculously she becomes happy. Mm. So I wanted to put that notion on its head, and I swapped the photographs around and I called it my non-traditional before and after photograph. And I wanted to share that with some people, to say that you can love your body before, during, after, at every stage, at any age, and all of those things. We see such a lack of diversity and range of body shape, colour, diversity in the media, and we really need to push back against the ideals that are constantly being rammed down our throats of what we should look like and who we should be.
Exactly. And so it's led on to the film. That's a big decision to get out there and to make something that is presumably going to be seen by even more people.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Well, after the before and after photographs went really viral, they were seen by over 100 million people. It was crazy, in fact, what happened with that. And I spent some time in the media and I became really frustrated with four-minute TV interviews and too shorter radio interviews and press getting things wrong, you know, in newspapers and magazines. And I thought, I need to take a little bit of control back here. Mm. And this isn't a fluffy body image story. This is, you know, suicide and depression and anxiety related to body dissatisfaction. Satisfaction is huge. I wanted a longer platform to share not just my story, but the many stories there are. Mm. And I very nonchalantly one day just said, oh, I'll just make a documentary. How hard could that be? And then I spent the next 2 years walking around like with a giant cold sore on my face. It was really stressful. But no. We're here now. And I'm so thrilled with the result. And I really believe that many lives will be changed by empowering women and men to take back control and say, enough is enough.
Those expectations, and when you see so many images of the different types of what's expectations, as I mentioned, it's tough. And you've got a daughter of your own, which in the film is mentioned throughout. the process of it. Where are you at now with your daughter and what's happened since the film's release?
Well, I mean, Michaela is 6 years of age, so I have 2 boys and a girl. And as a mother, when I would go out with Michaela, and when I do go out with her, so many well-meaning people say things that are really quite damaging. I mean, lucky she's got me where, you know, the value system that I'm building for her and the foundation has got nothing to do with how she looks. But when we go out, you know, the shop assistants, oh, hello, you're so pretty. And it puts her in that category. And the last thing I want my daughter to be is pretty. And the last thing I want my boys to be is to feel the pressure to be masculine. I mean, why can't we... And this is part of the conversation with Embrace, and this is my deep desire from the film, that we change the currency and the value system. You know, it's damaging for people. And no one wants to be categorised or labelled. People are just people. And we need to celebrate and see beauty, not just anything to do with on the outside, but it's all those things, you know, charisma and kindness and compassion and humility. They're the things that are beautiful in someone.
Do you feel that it's more amped up, so to speak, because of social media now for girls, for women, for females?
Yeah, I do. I do. But social media for me has been incredibly empowering, and it's given me a voice to be able to share and to bring people together. So I think when it's used in the right way, it can be very positive. Yes, but unfortunately, anyone can get a message out there. And there is the other side of that where people are shaming people and people are creating Facebook pages that, I mean, they're revolting, some of the pages I've seen.
Yes.
The cultural landscape in which we're trying to raise young children, when you can walk down the street and see a billboard with a woman, a girl, she looks, you know, she looks 15 and they're selling jeans and she's sucking on a lollipop in a provocative way. I mean, it's pretty outrageous what we're exposed to. And is it any wonder that our young children are making poor mistakes? Because it's coming at them from all angles.
All the time, yes.
And that's the pushback with Embrace, is that we need to come together. And for those marketeers and those global corporations that prey on women's insecurities, and men's too, is to say, we're done with this. We've had enough. Mia Friedman puts it so well in the film, that we can actually take back some power by where we put our dollars. Because our insecurities is their financial gain and nothing more.
Mia Friedman, I mean, she's a great example of an editor who has made some changes, and it must be, obviously, it's a very big commitment for her to make, because on the line is jobs, on the line is her, you know, work, industry, those sorts of things, the risks that involves.
Yeah, but I think people are celebrating and excited and positive about her changes, and it does take someone to pioneer that and say, right, I'm going to give women and men what they actually want. Because there's that whole notion of, that's what women want. Women want to see these images. Well, no, we actually don't. And who's making these decisions that we do? So thank goodness for people like Mia Friedman who are coming out and putting more goodness in the world and calling it and saying it like it is. She doesn't mince her words. She doesn't in the documentary. And it's, you know, we're very grateful that she's in the film.
Yeah, it is inspiring. And the collection of women that you met during the film as you go through, it must have been really tough editing. It must have been enormous, job.
It was. I mean, we were supposed to edit for 12 to 14 weeks, and we ended up editing for 23. It was the gift that kept on giving in that room. It empowers, you know, other people to share their own, know that they're not alone. And I think there's something really magical when we do share.
I think you're right. What's the suggestion you can make to someone who might be getting bullied and harassed on Twitter because of who they are, what they look like?
Yeah, I've experienced that firsthand. In fact, I was reading something this morning from someone who was, you know, trolling. And I thought, oh gosh. And it's not easy, right? Because we are humans and we have feelings. And I'm a pretty tough, strong person. But you know, every now and again, something gets through, and you go, oh, that's so unfair. But I think what you need to do is just suck up all the goodness and the positivity, and surround yourself with good people. And I guess also know that there's always going to be a person, there's always going to be a hater, but it's important for anyone that's getting bullied just to make sure that they have those support systems in place and to share, to know that they're not alone.
Yeah, that's important. Now, getting to Embrace, of course, getting back to the film, its big launch is next week. It's August the 4th, I believe,
it
for
is.
Australia.
Yep.
Now, the whole controversy about the censorship, or some would call it censorship or guidelines, in Australia, there's been that restriction by an MA15 plus rating. Obviously, how do you feel about that?
I'm outraged by it. Mm. You know, there's 12 seconds in the 90-minute film.
Yes,
And it's still photography about, I think it's like 20 women's vulvas. That's it. And the classification board, you know, their role is to protect minors from seeing harmful content. And in their notes that came back when they gave us the MA 15 plus restricted rating, they mentioned the protruding labia as one of the issues that they had. So I kind of scratched my head and I was puzzled. Also, if someone didn't have protruding labia, would that have been okay with you?
You could take maybe half of those out.
I mean,
like,
honestly,
to please them,
seriously. I mean, they have to stay, you know, and we're going to appeal that decision. Mm. And our good mates in New Zealand, the classification board, just 2 days ago came back
and gave that
an unrestricted rating. Hooray.
Because it's educational. Was it?
Of course, it's educational.
Because they said it was an educational context, so it's
yes, that's right.
It's the context, people.
Yeah, and how the Australian classification board didn't arrive at that decision, I'll never know. Or maybe I will know, because we're going to appeal and we're going to try and fight that, because I think it's really important to show that diversity. There's not just one type of vulva. There's many and varied.
Yes.
And it's in the film because I think it can really help people.
Well, Taryn, look, we wish you all the best of luck with Embrace and its world domination.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with Joy, at Joy, talking to Joy, just being here.
Thank you. So that's Embrace. It starts next week, August 4th. Then it's going to take on the world, and hold yourself, people, because it's really worth it. Spread the news. Go and see it as many times as you can. Hopefully, cross fingers, we'll get to take our younger people as well. Actually, with the MA, do we know if you can take a child?
Yeah, you can.
As a guardian, or
yes,
you know what I mean?
Indeed, you can. So,
okay.
And I would recommend, I think it's really a film, I mean, depending on the child. Mm. I mean, Mia Friedman brought her 10-year-old along. I know someone who brought their 8-year-old along. I guess it's just I wouldn't bring Michaela. She's like a 6-year-old girl in her bubble and has it's not even on her radar. I've been telling people this week I've been stealing all the hotel, like, jams and, you know, things in the bathroom so we can go play role play hotelier when we get home.
It might be boring as well.
I think definitely double digits and above.
Yeah.
And not just the girls, but the boys too.
Schools. What about schools at the stage? Can they take?
We are going to. We've got an educational rollout at the start of 2017 to get it into all high schools across Australia. That's going to keep us busy too. But I am hopefully going to have a huge impact on the people, young people that really need to see the film too.
Exactly. Thank you for speaking to us on Broad. Taryn Brumford, good luck with Embrace.
Thank you.
Looking forward to the sequel.
Let me get some sleep first.
Yes, so that was a great little snippet of an interview with Taryn Brumford, the director and creator, and she's a photographer as well of something called Embrace. So it starts August 4th, and we're looking forward to that through Transmission Films. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about something a little different, I guess, but it's perhaps all the same. It's about representation of women in films. In particular, the Melbourne International Film Festival is going to be upon us very soon. 28th of July runs to 14th of August. You can go to mef.com.au for the program. But we had a film I looked at recently called Bad Girl, and it's Australian by Finn Edquist. And it says in the description, secret and lies will change lives in this pulse-pounding psychological thriller. We have a 16-year-old foster child, Amy Anderson, who moves to the countryside with her foster family. Although we're not so clear if she fostered or she adopted, there's a lot of confusion about the concepts in this film. And that is one of the problems I have with it, to be quite honest. Look, it has got a very great cast. It's got Sarah West. She does very well heading that way as being the daughter, Amy. And it also features Samara Weaving. I'm sure we'll see more of her with her blonde, blue-eyed goodness. And she was in Mystery Road back in MIFF 2013. But that's not the issue I have with this little Aussie film. It's playing very soon, August 11 and 13. The issue I have with it, and perhaps people have heard of this, is hashtag another dead lesbian. I'm not giving away too much about the film because the bad girl, of course, they seem to be queer. There is lesbian content there, and things go awry. It is a thriller, a twister. Of course, the character Chloe, who lives in the local countryside where Amy and her family have moved from the city. They're city slickers, you could say. She's a little bit on the goth, sort of emo side of things, Sarah. So she meets Chloe / Jessica, who has, well, it seems an identity crisis, but spoiler, she actually is not what she seems. And this film pretty much goes downhill from there. Representation as far as queer elements, as far as queer relationships, is fraught with problems, personally. I'm not a fan of this film. If you want to go and see it, look, it's very well crafted, nice to look at. It's actually very sumptuous and it's got some, you know, key elements. It starts so well, it seems, and then, sadly, it's bottoms up, I'm afraid. I'm giving this out of 10. I'm giving this a 3 out of 10 just because why do lesbians always have to die? So I've given away the story. But it's up to you. Go and see Bad Girl. It is Aussie, so you are, I guess, supporting that. But personally, it would be great to see perhaps a woman director, because it is a male director for this film. It would be great to see a woman director or a woman identifying female to make a film, a horror thriller film, where not all lesbians are evil and have to die. And also I take task to the idea that adopted people are also screwy. Anyway, that's my very by the fly review. Not the greatest, but see for yourself. There's plenty of other wonderful female orientated films at MIFF this year, the Melbourne International Festival. Before I trip up on my tongue. But speaking of tongues, yes, I know The Handmaiden by Park Chan-wook is upon us. It is definitely something worth seeing. It's part of the MIFF program this year, and it's already on standby, which is a great, great indicator of this much-anticipated movie. 5th of August and 8th of August it plays here in Melbourne town. You can find out more by going to miff.com.au, of course, / The Handmaiden. And it is a delight. Visually, aesthetically, just beautiful. I can't fault it. Of course, it's based on the Sarah Waters story, The Fingersmith, or Fingersmith, which was made into a television series in the UK. This, of course, is with Japanese occupied Korea. Interesting. So the politics are there that perhaps a lot of us aren't aware of, and at the same time behind that is the gender politics and misogyny, I guess, of that culture. In particular, it seems to be referred to throughout the film, but we're looking at two women from two totally different worlds. One is from a Japanese background, one is a Korean background. She's a handmaiden, which means she's a slave virtually, a servant in servitude to the young Japanese woman, Miss Hadako. And it's basically, if you know the Sarah Waters book, there's lots of twists in there, so I won't give it away too much. Read the book. This is inspired by the book, but certainly there's plenty of, yes, queer woman on queer woman action in this one, certainly. Look, if you're not partial to watching women making love to each other and those sorts of sexual scenes, don't go and see it, because it does have some pretty raunchy scenes. But it's certainly more tasteful than Blue is the Warmest Colour, I'll say that much. So look, I recommend it highly. I think a lot of fans of Park Chan-wook will enjoy this. He did Stoker with Nicole Kidman a few years back. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Again, his perceptions and aesthetic, the cinematography is just heavenly, heavenly, really is. And it's great to see some diversity and a Korean film, which I hope will do really well. It just shows you how good Sarah Waters' writing is, where it can be so flexible and diffused and changed to fit a culture. And yeah, look, it's out, like I said, at MIFF. It's on standby, so you may not get a ticket, but don't worry, I am pretty certain it'll be hitting selected cinemas around the country, and in Melbourne I'm sure it'll end up at the Nova. They usually do. Lisa's nodding her head. She's a fan of the Nova. Excellent. Well, look, this is Abroad. Now, we do have a little bit of an interview to go. I've had my very kind podcaster put it together for me. It's Diana Burnett, lovely woman, talking about some of the things that are important for Screen Matters, and we'll have a listen to that in a moment. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9, and we have on the line with us a Diana Burnett from Screen Australia. Diana, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Diana, it says here in the brief bio here, I'm sure there's a lot more to it, but almost 20 years of involvement in the film industry here and in the US. Well, I could read this out, but it's better to come from you.
No, that's fine. I'm the administration manager across development and production here at Screen Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We work across mainly drama in the area that I do. So it's feature films, online and interactive television series, and all very sort of, you know, the high budget. We also help promote and support short filmmakers and new talent coming through. And prior to that, yeah, I've had a number of jobs around as a manager, a producer through Fremantle Media here in Australia. I worked at Animalogic for a couple of years, and then before that worked in feature animation in the US at some of the bigger studios there. So broad background, it kind of sits well with what I do here at Screen Oz, looking across multiple kinds of avenues for storytelling.
How did you get involved with Screen Australia, and in particular Gender Matters?
Well, I've been at Screen Australia for 6 years now, mm-hmm. and it was really just looking at coming back from the US, where I wasn't familiar with the Australian film industry anymore. I'd been away for about 15 years, so felt like I needed to work somewhere where it crossed over all of Australia and looked at all of the different types of work coming through the door. So this was actually a perfect opportunity. So that just came up 6 years ago, and I've just loved every minute of it. Gender Matters came about last year. We, you know, heard the need, and all over the world, really, for promoting more opportunities for women, both on screen and off, and in business as well. So in December last year, we came up with a plan to give $5 million toward the Gender Matter program, and this includes both Brilliant Stories and Brilliant Careers. Where Brilliant Stories, we supported 45 story ideas through that, and for Brilliant Careers, we supported 13 industry projects, so helped building sustainable careers for women. We have also, throughout all of our guidelines, we have made sure to look at all of the decisions that we make across gender and diversity as well, and that's our 3 of the 5 points that we are doing, and we're just about to announce the last two points, and we're hoping that will give a more sustainable career for women.
Yes,
continually.
Last 2 points, is that the distribution guarantee support and attachments for women? Is that
right?
Yes. Number 4 and 5.
Yep.
Okay.
our CEO is going to announce those in detail the end of July, so I guess next week, for 37 South. So stay tuned for that announcement.
Yes, well, that was our chat to the lovely Diana Burnett. I'll put the full podcast up for that separately as an interview. And thanks again to Jackie for helping me out doing that one. I want to say thanks to Lisa Dibb for coming in as well from Slut Walk.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck for Slut Fest.
Yeah. See everybody on Saturday night at Loop. Go on to the Slut Walk Melbourne Facebook and you can find tickets and lineups and info and all that stuff.
Yeah, and be an awesome slut.
Yeah,
or whatever you think.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Or don't be a slut, or be a huge slut. Do what you want.
Someone will turn up as a slug because they would have misheard what I said. Be a slug? What do you mean?
Slugs are good too. They're very important to the ecosystem.
Yeah, they do all sorts of awesome sexual positions. I don't know where I'm going with this, but Is Nothing Sacred's last show is coming up very soon. We're all excited, not to see them go, obviously, but we're excited that it's going to be a jam-packed fun show. And you never know, you might hear some familiar voices from the past haunting your ear holes. I did say ear holes. Thanks, Lisa. Good luck with Slutfest.
Thank you.
And, of course, Slut Walk in the future. We'll have you back, I think, as you get closer to the time of the walking.
I'll demand it. I'll scream from outside the building.
Perfect. People do that all the time. So thanks again for listening to Broad. We'll be podcasting later in the week. And thanks again to Taryn Brumford, Diane Burnett from Screen Australia, to Aisha Publicity, of course, for helping us, and to Gender Matters. And if I've forgotten anyone else, I'm sorry. Thanks to, Melbourne International Film Fest. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
And that was this week's show of Broad on Joy 94.9. Get in touch with us. It's easy to do. Just go to broad@joy.org.au. You can tweet us at broadfem949.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.